As we are continuing in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures and talk about it. So we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 27 through 36. As we continue in the series, Questions Jesus Asked. Thanks, Tyler, for preaching last week. We're grateful for that. I was able to be in Elgin, celebrating that 150th anniversary, and the place where I didn't preach my first sermon there, but I led my first funeral, wedding, baptism, communion, all of those things there. So it was good to be back for worship there. So yeah, as we continue in worship, here we go. Luke 6, 27 through 36. It says, "But I say to you, that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for, this is a hard scripture, Lord. We thank you for your example for us and the way in which you lived and your call to us to follow that example. Lord, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would say to us today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So we spend time teaching, or at least trying to teach, our children and students and even adults about respectfulness and honesty and compassion. We celebrate moments in which we see it, those moments of helping the other person up when they fall or walking beside someone who is moving a little slower instead of just racing past them. The other day, as we sat at a stoplight on our way home from soccer practice, I'm just sitting there waiting for the stoplight, and Levi says, "Dad, do you have anything to give to this guy?" And I'm like, "Here's a granola bar in my seat next to me." He's like, I hand it to him, and the guy was already past the car, and so he never came back by. And so the granola bar stayed in our car. But I said, "Good job, Levi. Good job." Like noticing that person. In Luke 6, Jesus says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. Do unto others as you would have them do to you." Did you know every major religion has some version of this golden rule as one of its major principles? It's become so deeply ingrained into our ethical subsoil of our culture that even the secular world knows the golden rule. Marriott, a few years ago, said, "It would be spectacular if the golden rule was golden to every person, and the good things that we ever did was everything we can." Marriott said this. Spectacular, they said. Spectacular is kind of a, big word, powerful word. I think they use the word spectacular because at some point, this way of living, the golden rule, becomes easier said than done. The golden rule is simple to understand, but it's not easy to apply. At some point, we begin spending a lot of our time instead thinking about how to get ahead or to get advantage in order that we might succeed more than the other person. that we might get in line first. We do it in the church even. How do we get ahead of those other churches? I think it's why Rise Against Hunger, which we have, I think, 235 volunteers currently, is such a gift, because there's so many different groups and people coming together for a purpose so much bigger than ourselves, so much more than we could do on our own. It would be exhausting if this group here was trying to pack 37,000 meals by itself or raise $15,000 by itself. What would the world look like if we did this all of the time? If we invested our creativity and our energy in love for something bigger than our own? The way Jesus taught his disciples to live was very different than the way they had lived before they met him. No matter who they were in the past, following Jesus meant that they were accepted into a new citizenship in the kingdom of God. And the main characteristic of this life was not how many fish were in the nets or how they were going to make a living, but how they were to love God and their neighbor. It wasn't how many taxes were collected or governments they overthrew, but how they loved their friends and their enemies alike. Now, there are a couple of misconceptions that we can sometimes grasp from the scripture. One of the ways it is misunderstood or misapplied is to think of the scripture as reciprocal or transactional. If I do something for you, then I expect you to do something for me. If you do good to those, Jesus addresses this by saying, if you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? The golden rule calls us to seek the betterment of others, regardless of whether they do the same for us in return. To personally love and even give ourselves without expecting anything in return, to follow Jesus, to learn to be the most loving people on the planet. You see, Jesus wasn't transactional in his relationships. He calls his followers to be the same, to grow in capacity of love, to the extent that there's no room in our lives for anger or fear or contempt or hate. He tells his followers that they must release their intentions to retaliate when unkindness and animosity are on the move. To grow in the gift of forgiveness instead of retaliation. What a shock it must have been to hear these words from Jesus. Then and even now, in a culture that wants us to retaliate and to fight back and to say words that are unkind, instead of being compassionate as God. People find it easier to give what they think people need instead of giving what people actually need. So the other way that this scripture can sometimes be misunderstood is when we use our own personal desires and wishes as the primary filter to decide what is good and best for the other person. And Jesus calls us to stop trying to fix other people's problems and trying to give them advice on how to be better and do better. Because that may work for a while, but eventually the person will fall back. Because it wasn't about you trying to fix them, it's about them trying to help themselves. It's about walking beside them instead of in front of them. Jesus calls us to love our neighbors and listen to them and what they actually need. Do unto others as they would want you to do to them. For this way of practicing the golden rule requires us to practice empathy, to listen to the other person, to seek to see the world and the situation through the eyes and perspective of the other person, and to remove our own personal filters in order to put the filter on of the other person. I think we talked about this before, but what if we read the scripture from Jesus as an honest assessment of how we are indeed dependent and needy and connected to the others for our sustenance? That none of us are an island. And Jesus calls us to a deeper awareness of our interdependence of human life. Love tends to embrace burdens and hurts rather than avoid them. I think in the scripture, when Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek and to give our, if they take our coat, to give our shirt as well, and if they tell you to run 1 mile, run a second mile. Jesus is calling us to about dealing with those in our life that have hurt us or caused us harm or inflicted pain, about practicing forgiveness of those who hurt you. And when Jesus tells in the scripture to turn the other cheek, it's not saying to let others walk all over you. But when Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, he knew that it would be almost impossible for the person to strike you again because the striker was only allowed to use one hand. The right hand, not the left. To slap a person. And so it would be physically difficult, if not impossible, for the attacker to backhand your left cheek with his or her right hand. And so turning your cheek tells the other person that you cannot take away my self-respect and my dignity, which is the same as them taking your shirt or you walking that second mile. Jesus calls us to be creative, courageous, and diligent in responding to the harm that someone has caused you. Just as the fullness of God's love and forgiveness has been freely, generously, and unconditionally poured out upon us, so we are to offer that same love, that same generosity, freely to others. Thomas Merton said that compassion is the keen awareness of the interdependence of all things. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. Paul says, clothe yourself with compassion. Desmond Tutu says, if you are going to be compassionate, be ready for action. So friends, we are called to act in love without preference or partiality and expect nothing in return. We are called to treat everyone with compassion and empathy and love. May we be that community. May we be that community of faith here in the Northwest Hills area in Austin that lives this way, both inside these walls with one another, but also outside these walls with the city, the community, and those right in our area. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your example of love and your call for us to be loving to others, to be empathetic, to see through our eyes the needs of those around us. And God, even when someone comes to the door not happy, may we be compassionate. May we listen to their needs. May we walk with them to find the destination that they're looking for, so that in that they might know love, hope, and peace. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.